about this interview that Chief Eric Randall, former Chief Eric Randall, PPD, did with Sue Strong last night on Channel 3? I thought it ended quite well. And I thought some of the stuff that he said in there was, you know, very interesting. But I particularly liked the message to PPD, thanking them you're the best, to the dispatchers, thanking them you're the best, to the staff, thanking, you know, the professional staff, the non-dispatchers, non-sworn officers. And even, as I think you might have heard David play just a minute ago, to the city itself.
And I also want to thank the community. There's been great community support here in Pensacola. I'm homegrown. I'm a product of the public school system. So, to the community out there, thank you for all you have done for me. Thank you for all that you would do for Pensacola. I'm here, I'm good, and the future is very, very bright for all of us. And I appreciate you, I love you all, and thank you for the well wishes, the phone calls, and everything that you've done over the last week.
Yeah, I mean, I thought all of that stuff was quite good. In fact, in a way, I thought that was a nice bit of closure to the whole conversation about this incident, that he would, you know, end it that way. I thought that was good. The beginning was a little bit not quite as good. And here's why I say. I have some questions following some of the early comments, but I want to play them for you so that you can hear. You know, of course, he began by thanking Channel 3.
Well, first of all, thank you, Sue, and thank you, WEAR, for taking the time to allow me to come in and talk to the community and to the police department, because I didn't get that chance last week.
Yeah, and just, you know, I think this is a good interview for him to do, you know, and Sue is perfectly fantastic, and we love Channel 3. I just, for the record, I did offer him Thursday when the news broke. I did directly reach out to Chief Randall and, you know, said, hey, you know, thank you for your service. You're always welcome on the show if you want any time to explain your side. So, you know, he had opportunities to talk last week if he'd wanted to. And I don't begrudge him for waiting. I think it made sense for him to wait till after the press conference and so forth. I'm just so you know, I did actually offer, and he is still welcome. I think he probably said everything that he wants to say yesterday, so I don't think it's likely we'll do an interview with him. But, you know, absolutely he was welcome here. But she got right into the, you know, the question, which is the right question, which is the mayor says you were basically viewed as an outsider by the department and never got to be that insider status that you'd hope for a chief. And, you know, what do you think about that?
And in 2021, I had the great opportunity to come back home to my community, my hometown here in Pensacola, and be able to do some remarkable thing that has never been done before, come in as an outside chief and make a difference in this community.
Now, you say coming in as an outside chief. One of the things that was mentioned on yesterday at a press conference at the police department, the acting chief, Kristen Brown, she made the statement that you came in at a disadvantage. She said, he didn't know us and we didn't know him, that you were an outsider coming in, that you came in at a disadvantage. Do you feel that you came into that department at a disadvantage? Because when the perception of law enforcement is that it is a closed group, if you would, that you know, you're brothers and sisters in arms. Were you that outsider coming in?
You know, whenever you come in anytime from outside an organization, there's always an uphill battle to build relationships and set forth the mission and the goals of the organization. But when I came here, I hit the ground running. You know, I may have been an outsider, but I'm an insider to this community because I was born and raised here, lived here for 18 years of my life, graduated from Booker T. Washington High School. Many, many of my friends still live here today in long-lasting relationships. So I think that aspect was very important for me as well.
And actually, I think that's true. But that still doesn't quite answer the question, right? The question she's getting at is that these internal, relational, trust, confidence kind of numbers just never got to where they needed to be and, you know, apparently might have actually gotten worse over time. And why is that? And the why is that was never really answered in this interview. And in fact, I think some of the stuff that he did say sort of, in a way, raised more questions about that. We'll come back to this in just a second. PJ is in for John Pickens this morning. It's so confusing because John Pickens is JP and PJ is, you know. So I'm just, if I ever pause, that's why. But John will be out for early next week, just FYI. But PJ has got our traffic on the fives. PJ?
This traffic update is brought to you by Barbary Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the bay winner, Barbary, 477-8782. Still looking at that vehicle crash, I-10 westbound, mile marker 10, right near Pensacola Boulevard. They're saying the roadway is open, however. Also, a vehicle crash, I-110 northbound, right at mile marker 5. Inside lane is blocked. I'm PJ with your traffic on the 5s.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to the interview last night with Sue Strawn on Channel 3 with Eric Randall, former chief of police. The question I want you to kind of keep in mind as we go through playing some of these clips is, do you feel like he ever really answers the question of why the department didn't have as much confidence in him as the mayor wanted them to have? Because I did not hear that question get answered. And I kind of wanted that question to get answered, but I'll talk more in a second. Let's hear a little bit more from him. So he talked about, you know, when he first came in.
But were you able to break down those walls within the department? I mean, because here you have the new acting chief saying that you were perceived as that outsider and that they didn't know you and you didn't know them.
Of course, when a new chief comes in from the outside, there's that apprehension of not knowing the new chief. But I think I had the opportunity to break down many of those barriers and many of those walls. And I'll give you an example. My first week here, it was amazing to see the shock on the officer's face when they saw the chief working after 5, going out on calls for service. It was a shock to them. And as the years went on and time went on, it was just amazing when I show up on scenes of crime, show up on calls of service, and my officers at that point, they felt comfortable. It's like, oh, that's just the chief. He's always out here.
Now, you know, knowing all the former chiefs really well, there was a part of me that kind of had my, you know, hackles got raised when I hear what sounds like a kind of shade or insult being thrown against the former chiefs. But, I checked, I asked, and sure enough, when he first came on, one of the things that he did was to take out a marked cruiser after hours at 5 o'clock and then go to scenes and for a couple of hours even drive around, meet people, which I think is great and I think was great. I've been told that the habituality of that declined a little bit over time. It wasn't as emphatic as at the beginning, but I think that's a good thing. And that was something that other people hadn't done quite that way. Yeah, I mean, they were always available. You know, they might go unmarked or, their regular patrol car or whatever, or their regular, non-marked patrol car. And I don't think he meant it as an insult. At least I hope he didn't. I just think it was something he really did a lot at the beginning. And so then that kind of leads to that question. If he was doing that and or doing that so consistently, why didn't that translate into a level of confidence, comfort, trust, enthusiasm, right? I mean, that because it does sound like he really did that. He talked about filling vacancies, something that did happen. I don't know to whom to give the credit for that exactly, but fair enough. And the crime rate being very low, certainly, absolutely correct. Yes, that's right.
Because no community can survive if they have a high crime rate. And no community can foster and do the great things they've been doing in Pensacola unless people feel safe. And over time, and last year, we were designated as the 4th safest city in America. Let me say that again. The 4th safest city, not in Florida, not in the Southeast, but in America, these United States. I think that is a great feat, not only for myself, but for the men and women of the organization to be able to culminate and have that designation. And we should celebrate that.
Absolutely, we should. But again, to me, it still raises the question of, okay, so the cops know this. And if the cops know that, why didn't that, if it's his sort of credit, why didn't that translate into that same level of confidence and enthusiasm? And I don't have an answer. And I kind of, I didn't hear him give an answer either. And I'm just, this is kind of the question that lingers for me. And he talked about the bear cat and, solving that problem. I give credit to the mayor for that. You know, that problem has been around for years. It didn't get solved during the first couple of years that he was under Grover. I give credit to D.C. primarily for coming and saying, oh, this has to change. We have to get rid of the plumber's van and get a real SWAT vehicle in, which we did, which is good. But then right at the end, and kudos to Sue, because she came back and asked again the question about, but the surveys, but the confidence level. Can you explain it? Because she knew, she's a good news person. She knew that he didn't really answer that question, and I always admire somebody for asking a question again when the interviewee kind of doesn't want to answer it or hasn't really given a great answer. I like it when somebody asks the question again.
So you are leaving. Obviously, you're out of there. Again, this was mutually agreed. Do you feel that the surveys told a true story, that there was a loss of confidence and that this was warranted?
When we talk about that, everybody has their opinion on things. Surveys are are just that. They're an instrument of things that go on. They're one instrument of a lot of things that you can use. You know, when you think about the survey, you look at the other survey, the survey of citizen satisfaction. 65% of citizen satisfaction for the police department. You know, when you look about at cities around the country, when you got high citizen satisfaction and low crime, that's somewhat highly unusual. That's unique. So, okay. You know, surveys, you know, they're going to be here. They were here before I came, and they will be here after I left.
So that's, of course, not an answer of any sort, right? And here, the only reason I'm bringing this up, I like Chief. I think Chief did his best to do a good job. Sharp guy. I have no problem with Chief. I get along well with Chief. The question I think most people kind of, where it boils down to is, do you think it was a good choice? Was he properly warned in advance, you know, hey, these numbers aren't where they need to be and we need to get them up, you know, and how long did he have to work that out? It sounds like it was several months at least, you know, maybe 6 months to as much as a year. And then if the numbers don't turn around, the numbers don't turn around and you have to, you know, do something different. And I've told you yesterday, I thought DC gave at least enough answer on that I'm comfortable about it all. But in this interview yesterday, the one thing that I didn't hear that I really kind of wish I would have heard, and nobody ever does a perfect interview. No, you know, I have a lot of expectations for how people can do interviews where, you know, I say, hey, you could have done it this way. What I would have loved to have heard from the chief would have been something like this. Here's what we did well. Here's where we made accomplishments, which he said a lot of that. And, you know, much of that, totally fair. I would have loved to have heard him say, you know what, Sue? Here's where I failed. Here's where I could have done more. Here's where I didn't do enough. Here's where, you know, thinking about it now, I had an opportunity to do this, this, and this, and I didn't do it. Here's what I would have done again if I could do it differently. Only because this question of it being a mutual decision, you know, implies that it was, you know, both parties agreed that it needed to happen. And I didn't hear anything from him yesterday that supported the contention that it was really mutual. It sounds more to me like he's, you know, disappointed, frustrated, and not like in himself, but more like in the decision, like he felt maybe the decision was unfair because the interview was spent giving all the reasons why he was a great police chief. And there are reasons why he was a great police chief. And I just didn't hear that other side, which is honestly, and again, maybe it's unfair to expect that, but that's what I always like to hear from somebody is when something goes wrong or when a change has to happen, I'd love to hear somebody say, you know what, honestly, I could have done this, this. I mean, you know, if ever I am removed from this position, okay, and, you know, somebody comes in and then somehow I'm doing an interview about it, I would hope that what I would say was, well, I thought we did this, this, and this well, and you know what, looking back on it, I could have done this better, I could have done this better, I should have seen that threat coming, or I said this dumb thing on the, you know, like, that's, that self-assessment is what I always look for from people. So here's what he said kind of in the middle of the interview that kind of wraps all of this up, and it was just the part that, you know, just sat a little bit imperfectly for me.
Those things did not translate. The mayor said you weren't meeting expectations, at least his expectations, and mutually it was agreed that you were going to leave. So you left on last Thursday.
Yes, ma'am. Mutually, it was agreed upon. The mayor wanted to go a different direction, and we mutually agreed to separate the relationship.
So didn't sound super mutual to me. And, you know, it may not have been. It probably wasn't. And I know in HR matters, a lot of times everybody's trying to make sure that, you know, everything doesn't look terrible from the outside. And I know you can't say a lot in HR matters anyway. And that's fine. Okay. That was kind of my thoughts as I was listening to this interview is, you know, how well does it fit with what I do know? How well does it explain the situation? How much did it add to the conversation? I certainly thought it was a very good interview by Sue and a very newsworthy thing. I know we aired it live yesterday and to talk about it this morning, but just since I heard it, I wanted to give you my thoughts. Also, just FYI, coming up in about an hour, a little more than an hour, we're going to talk to Kristen Brown, who is the new chief, former captain. You know, I've known her a long time, about 10 years. And she's, you know, of course, now the chief, and we're going to have her on. And normally it's Mike Wood, who's the public information officer. I don't know what the protocol going forward is going to be. I don't know whether, you know, Chief Brown is going to want to do those weekly interviews, whether they're going to alternate. I don't know. We had Eric Randall on maybe five or six times a year. maybe every other month, something like that, when there was a particular need. So I don't know what the future is going to be, but we'll see. And like I said, we'll talk with her at 7:40. 6:25 on News Radio 92.3. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash, I-10 westbound, mile marker 10, right at Pensacola Boulevard. They're saying the roadway is open. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Why'd I go to the doctor? My heart would race just taking my son to practice. It didn't feel right. So I got checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com. Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
At Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola, they know you've heard of acupuncture. But what is it? Acupuncture is a time-tested holistic medicine that can help decrease pain and restore function. They treat patients suffering from chronic back pain, neuropathy, joint pain, arthritis, migraines, and so much more. They can also help with digestive disorders, infertility, anxiety, and depression. To learn more or schedule a consultation, visit awpensacola.com. Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola, where a healthier and happier you awaits.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 6:27 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Speculation on the future of Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell had Wall Street experiencing some whiplash yesterday. Initial reports that Trump's firing of Powell seemed imminent came out during morning trading that sparked a bit of a sell-off yesterday. But Trump said he had no plans to fire Powell, and the markets rebounded. So I guess we'll see what the roller coaster has in store today. The judge in the Brian Koberger case will hear arguments over a gag order today. Koberger pled guilty to the 2022 murders of 4 University of Idaho students. He's scheduled to be sentenced next week. And some new information on the man accused of murdering an American Idol music supervisor and her husband, Robin Kay and Tom DeLuca. They were found shot to death in their California home earlier this week. Records show the suspect, Raymond Bladarian, was charged with misdemeanor battery 3 times last year, but those charges were eventually dropped.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620, that's my phone number. If you are thinking about buying or selling a home, or you just want to ask questions of somebody who loves talking about real estate, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, really loves talking about it. She's kind of a nerd about it, and she always tells me whenever I talk to her, she's like, Andrew, I love meeting people. I love talking with them. If they become a client, great. If they don't become a client, great. If I made a friend, you know, that's fine. If, if we wind up doing a deal, wonderful. If I wind up meeting somebody else, if they become a referral, I mean, whatever, you know, anything. I just love it. And she just loves the idea of being able to help people. And sometimes, and I know this from talking to her, sometimes that means talking somebody out of selling. You know, many times she's had clients who come to her and like, I want to sell my house. And he's like, well, why? You know, and I said, well, because I want to do this. And he's like, you know what, honestly, after talking to him, I don't think that'll solve the problem that you think it's going to solve. Now, who's ever heard of a realtor who talks you out of selling your house? Well, that's the point. She's more interested in helping people than she is in, you know, getting a deal, getting a commission. And that drives everything she does. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why people like her so much is because they know she's going to tell them the truth. And, of course, a lot of times they wind up becoming clients and she's going to make them, you know, good money for, you know, selling their home or buying a home. But she's willing to say, hey, you know, based on what you've told me, I just don't think this is going to solve for you what you think. And I want a professional consultant who's going to give me that kind of advice. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. All right, what do we have coming up? I mentioned before, but Kristen Brown is going to be on the show in about an hour. That'll be at 7:40. So we'll have a good conversation with her about, you know, who is the police chief? I know a lot of people don't really know her in the community. I've known her a while, but I think it'll be a good opportunity for her to, you know, get to know you and you get to know her.
I'm Chris Foster. The Senate overnight passes a bill to take back approved funding for public broadcasting and foreign aid, top Senate Democrat Chuck Schumer.
This is a dark day for America, a dark day for rural Americans, a dark day for any American who relies on public broadcasting during floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, and other disasters.
What we're talking about here is 0.1% of all federal spending. 0.1% of all federal spending. But it's a step in the right direction.
Senate Republican leader John Thune, there's a Friday night deadline for the House to pass the bill with Senate changes. A U.S. attorney in New York who prosecuted Jeffrey Epstein, Maureen Comey, is fired. Why is not announced. Her father is former FBI Director James Comey, publicly detested by President Trump. Maureen Comey more recently worked on the Sean Diddy Combs prosecution. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 81 degrees and cloudy skies right now. We'll get more with our weather forecast in just a few minutes. Former Pensacola Police Chief Eric Randall breaking his silence since his departure from the department last week. He sat down with Channel 3 and Sue Strawn yesterday to address what happened.
Mutually, it was agreed upon. The mayor wanted to go a different direction, and we mutually agreed to separate the relationship.
Randall discussed reports of the department losing confidence in his leadership, the challenges of coming into the department as an outside hire, and he also took time to thank the PPD officers, 911 dispatchers, and the community at large. Channel 3 does have that interview posted online in its entirety if you'd like to see it. A man's been arrested for a fatal shooting following a fatal shooting on Wilson Avenue and Kincaid Street. 58-year-old Michael Stephen Johnson. He was arrested yesterday after deputies responded to a home where a trespassing incident had apparently escalated into a shooting. Investigators say the victim had left the property, then later returned, and that's when the victim and Johnson got into an argument, which escalated into a shooting, and Johnson is currently being held on possession of a weapon by a convicted felon charge. He remains in the Escambia County Jail without bond, and no information has been released on the victim at this time. Well, folks being held in the Alligator Alcatraz facility are suing. They say they want more access to their legal counsel. The ACLU filed a class action lawsuit yesterday against the Department of Homeland Security, ICE, and the governor. The lawsuit was filed on behalf of four detainees at the Alligator Alcatraz facility in the Everglades. The plaintiffs say that their constitutional rights are being violated because they're being denied access to their attorneys. And plans to build Northeast Florida's version of Alligator Alcatraz have now been put on hold. Governor DeSantis said yesterday he's not moving forward with plans to build an immigrant detention facility at Camp Blanding in Clay County. He said he wants to wait for Alligator Alcatraz itself to fill up first. The facility in the Everglades can hold up to 4,000 detainees. Despite the governor's announcement, there are still protests planned at Camp Blanding this coming weekend. Senator Ashley Moody celebrating the signing of what she believes is a common-sense bill designed to reduce drug overdose deaths. Senator Moody was at the White House yesterday to watch President Trump sign the Halt Fentanyl Act into law. That permanently classifies fentanyl-related substances as Schedule I drugs and establishes penalties. Schedule I drugs, of course, the most addictive with no medical use. Moody says this was one of the first bills she co-sponsored when she became a senator. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with PJ.
This traffic update is brought to you by Rapid Radios. Rapid Radios are instant push-to-talk walkie-talkies with nationwide LTE coverage. For a limited time, get 60% off and free UPS shipping at rapidradios.com. Use code radio for an extra 5% off. Still just seeing that vehicle crash, I-10 westbound, mile marker 10 right at Pensacola Boulevard. They are saying the roadway is open. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, PJ. And right now we've got 82 degrees, cloudy skies in Pensacola. We're still watching as that low pressure system pushes west towards Louisiana. The formation chance still at 40%, but forecasters do say it's not likely to become much of anything unless it goes south over warm Gulf waters. It does have a high rain chance, though, here for the next couple of days. 6:35, your next news at 7. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Pepsi shares rose 1% after it reported quarterly earnings and revenue that topped analysts' expectations, despite weaker demand for its food and drinks in North America. Net sales rose 1% to roughly $22.7 billion. The company's organic revenue increased 2.1% during the quarter. Oil prices are moderately higher as demand hopes and economic data lifts sentiment. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $66.78 per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $68.69 per barrel. Treasury yields moved higher this morning after President Trump shut down speculation that he's planning to fire Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell imminently. The 10-year Treasury yield was up 2 basis points to 4.479%. Similarly, the 2-year yield rose 2 basis points to 3.91%. Futures are mixed ahead of additional jobless data coming out later this morning. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials gained 231, the NASDAQ up 52. That's Your Money Now.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200, $300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code EARN to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code EARN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code EARN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Florida State football's coming. Are you ready? The season kicks off as the University of Alabama rolls into town for the first time ever. The epic season continues as the Noles take on teams like Virginia, the Hurricanes, Clemson, Florida, and more. Have your business branded inside all the games. Plus, weekly promos and commercials. A special sponsorship package is waiting just for your business. Get your business on the field. Call 850-262-6000 to be an FSU sponsor right here on News Radio 92.3.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
We'll be right back.
right, so yesterday I went all the way down a rabbit hole. I saw something in an email that I had never heard of before. And the more I looked, the more I kept looking, and the more I kept looking, the more I kept looking. And so it's a thing called the Gen Z stare. The Gen Z stare. Now, PJ, you chuckle, I see. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you heard of this before?
Well, I have some Gen Zers in my house.
Right. Okay. So you know the age cohort, 13 to 28, that's the rough parameters, okay? Mm-hmm. So the, you know, junior high, high school, college and college graduates who are not 30. That's generally the age. So it's all the young workers are Gen Z, right? Okay. Have you ever had a case where you're talking to your kids and at a moment when you think a normal person would simply react and say something, they instead just kind of pause? Like the human is buffering and give you a non-answer. Especially in a typical Gen Z kind of tone. Have you ever experienced this?
That's my 17-year-old.
Okay, all right. And I don't know the answers. We had to talk about this off the air. Do you find it frustrating or weird? Or what's your reaction when it happens?
First of all, I call it the stink eye.
Oh, the stink eye. Okay, yeah. So it is a negative, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, they'll not answer the question. And I say, you didn't answer the question. And then they walk away.
This is so good. I have not experienced this. My kids are all in this cohort, okay? 21, 19, and 16. So they're right in the sweet spot of this. And I have not experienced this with mine. But let me give you one clip. This is blown up on TikTok, okay? And it's all over. I saw so many articles about this that I kept being fascinated by it. So this is one mom. This is about a minute long clip. It's worth it. It's better if you can see it, but you'll have to infer that when she's being silent, she's giving you this sort of 1,000-foot stare, not paying attention, almost like, do I even have to be in this conversation? Okay, fine, I guess I have to, and I have to say something, right? That's the demeanor implied here.
I'm a millennial who received the Gen Z stare recently, and this is how that interaction went. Hi, I'm Riley. I'm Hallie's mom. Thank you so much for agreeing to teach my daughter golf. She is so excited. Yeah.
Part one. But if you've ever interacted with some young people, you know exactly what she's talking about. This, yeah. Okay, going on.
Hey, so I noticed that you guys had a deal where I can buy a certain amount of lessons and get one free. Do you remember what that deal is? I don't have my phone with me, so I can't see it. Okay, that's totally fine.
Now, the only part about this that I find implausible is that any Gen Zer wouldn't have their phone with them. But apparently this happened because she's recreating, dramatizing an incident that she had.
Okay, that's totally fine. Is the best way for me to pay you via Venmo, or what's the best way for me to go about that? Well, I don't have my phone. So, I mean, I guess, like, you can just text me. Yeah, I can text you and we can get that squared away. Anyway, it's very nice meeting you.
Okay, PJ, now that you've heard somebody else describe it, fair, accurate?
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a combination of long, uncomfortable pause that feels like aloof condemnation of the stupidity of your comment without actually showing that on the face, and then some odd verbal communication that demonstrates something between total contempt or total incompetence at social interaction. And it could be anywhere in between the extremes of that spectrum. Have you experienced this? 437-1620. PJ's in for John Pickens today with Traffic on the Fives. PJ?
Taking a look at the big board, there's a vehicle crash, I-10 westbound, mile marker 10, right up near Pensacola Boulevard. They're saying the roadway is open. Taking a look at the front gate of NAS Pensacola, that is looking good. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Let's see. Somebody texted in, after getting fired from his first job for not accepting criticism, I had my 17-year-old practice his facial expressions in the mirror. He really didn't know how he looked when people were talking to him, and now he's a manager. So that to me, okay, this may be jumping to conclusions, confirmation bias, but you know me, I'm a big critic of the smartphone in general, and particularly for kids. The effects it has on kids are wide-ranging, various, and none of them are positive. I'll say it. None of them are positive. And so in this case, I'm suspicious that part of this comes from texting versus phone calls versus face-to-face. Texting is the preferred method of communication for anybody under 30. And in texting, you have a moment, you can pause, you can screw your face up, you can have whatever look you want to have, you can have contempt, and then you answer. But the immediacy of reacting is something that only comes in live interaction. It only comes when you're talking to somebody either on the phone, which we all did growing up, except them, or which, you know, we do in person, which, again, they don't do nearly as much, and they just don't know how to do this. So they're baffled by it. I'll give you another one. This is a little bit shorter because, by the way, there was a longer one where she was talking about how sometimes it really is that people are stupid, and how do you react to somebody when they're incredibly stupid? Yeah, but we've all learned how to interact with incredibly stupid people, and a just plain blank pause for 3 seconds or 5 seconds is not the best strategy. It's not the one that, I'll say it, normal people use, and here by normal, I mean above 30. But okay, here was another woman who talked about this same concept or the same experience.
I worked in a boutique for almost a year, and I got Gen Z stared at all the time, so here's my impression. Hey, how are you? Are you looking for anything in particular today? Can I help you find anything, or are you just looking around? Looking. Okay, well, let me know if you need help with anything.
Looking. This is so accurate. The question is it a byproduct of some kind of incompetence? Is it a deliberate choice? Is it sort of the modern equivalent of whatever, right? I don't know, but it's definitely causing stress in people's workplaces, stress between, you know, employees and customer service. And again, is it just a byproduct of the fact that they don't have face-to-face or, and, you know, on the phone live conversational experience? And so this is a byproduct of that sort of gap in their, or they, and like this person, my son just didn't even know, you know, what his face look like. You know, if you don't know what your own face looks like because you haven't interacted in face-to-face as much with people, but do you recognize it when other people do it as a problem? You know, because I can certainly see somebody who's being kind of face blind about it, that they not only don't know what they're doing, but don't know how to react to other people when they do it and don't even perceive it as weird. You know, kind of like when people mispronounce words and then you learn to mispronounce them and you don't even know that they're that you're all mispronouncing it, because if you don't have anybody around to teach you the right way. Let's see. Somebody says at 437-1620, every Gen Z that works fast food does this. I just didn't have a name for it. Okay, that for the Gen Z stare. Somebody says, perhaps Gen Z feels that responding in an actual conversation is fine to do at a pace comparable to a slow web page load in an area with poor phone signal. Right. That's life. Let's see. Aloof, disconnected, and passive-aggressive. See, that's how it reads to me, is passive-aggressive. It's just another kind of passive-aggressive. And maybe that's exactly how it's intended. I'm sure that is sometimes how it's intended. Maybe sometimes it's just not that they don't know what to say or how to say it or what they want to say. Or, again, because they're just accustomed to having the text pause available. I don't have to immediately react, you know? They know I'm looking at the text. It's fine. They're waiting for my answer. Let's see. 437-1620. Lack of social interaction due to COVID didn't help. Agreed. Somebody says they're just waiting for AI to tell them what to say. Dang it. Somebody says it's, yes. It's funny to me. It's sad, weird, but that's why I brought it up today, because I think it was interesting. And I spent probably an hour yesterday just looking stuff up and watching videos and thinking about this and reading articles. It's everywhere from the New York Times to Inc. to everywhere. Yeah, I routinely ask my 16-year-old daughter if she's having a stroke. That seems to go over well. Aw, new strategy needed. It's a bigger problem. It's loss of soft skills. And, you know, not enough beatings. Well, you know, may not be something you can necessarily spank a kid out of. But, yeah, these are the same youth, that have the lowest patriotism, translates to awkward. It's a trend, apathetic, taking their soft life for granted. Now, I will say this, and I always try to say this, that it's not every kid. And there's always this generational discomfort. There's always things that, you know, the greatest generation, the boomers, thought that the Gen Xers were crazy, you know, and Gen Xers thought the millennials were crazy, and millennials think the Gen Zers are crazy. You know, that's always true. It's less true without the assistance of technology, because what technology and disposable income have done historically is accelerated the pace of cultural change, and they've put young people more in the driver's seat when it comes to cultural change. Prior to, the 40s, 30s, roughly, okay? Basically, culture was dictated by the people who had money to afford culture, which is old people, right? Young people didn't have disposable income in the same way. Also, young people didn't, you know, there was no culture catering to them. There weren't things like radio music. There weren't things like 45s and records and concerts. You know, concerts were for old people that had money. Well, with the advent of modern technology, TV and radio, anybody can afford culture. And suddenly the people who, you know, have disposable income to spend on records start to drive this conversation, start to demand the things that get made. And then that gets even worse with social media, because now every kid has, they shouldn't, but they do have access to it. And so this kind of catering to the young, catering to the less experienced, the less conservative, you have massive rapid cultural change. And that leads to all kinds of things like, you know, changes in language, changes in terminology, specialized. You know, I still think the most amazing conversation I was having with my kids was, you remember we did this a couple months ago, they had a Gen Xer. No, he wasn't that old. I think he was a millennial. And he went to speak to a high school class, and he mastered their phraseology for the day and gave them, you know, a speech in their lingo, you know, no cap, it's sus, you know, all that kind of stuff. And they were laughing. He also did a very good job of it. Well, I let my kids, 19 and 16, watch the video, and their answer to me was, yeah, that's pretty good. It's about 6 months out of date, but it's pretty good. I thought, good Lord. It's that quick. The evolution is that quick. So bear in mind that there's always friction. The friction is not, I think the friction is the generational friction and tension, largely a byproduct of the fact that we've allowed technology and, you know, media and culture to be shaped so heavily by the youngest, least experienced, most unwise portion of the community, which we did the same thing when we were 18 and 19. I'm not sure that was healthy. In fact, I'm sure that was not. But this whole modern don't talk to people in person, don't talk on the phone, don't, all of that, I think is producing a completely different kind of person, a completely different kind of what's normal. In fact, one of the, we might talk about this for our frivolous topic today, but one of the other stories that kind of goes in this general direction is the idea that when you call somebody on the phone, if they answer, the expectation is now from young people, the first person to talk is the caller. And if you are frustrated that they don't say hello when they answer the phone, that's your problem. Who says hello? It's a defense strategy against robocalls, because as soon as you say hello, the software is keyed to click over to an operator who's going to go through their spiel. And if you don't say anything, the other person is left to explain themselves. And it's a different expectation. Which one is right? Which one is wrong? Well, longstanding habit is you answer, you say something. Anyway, we might do that for a frivolous topic, but that's another one of these. It's a very different kind of social expectation. This is everything from which emojis are passive aggressive, offensive, which emojis do which generation use. Like, all of this stuff is in a bundle. And though it might sound like I'm being very critical of the Gen Z stare, and I suppose I am because I think it's terrible, there's also, you need to, well, why do they do it? And what does it mean? And is it actually intended to solve something, or is it a byproduct of something? Can it be fixed? You know, I don't know. But it is apparently a very real thing. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
My kids also do the pause at the front end of the call and don't say goodbye when they hang up.
They just hang up.
They just.
That's so weird.
I guess
no.
We're done. All right, traffic on the fives. Highway 90 clear from Pace to Milton. Also taking a look at the big board. A vehicle crash still dealing with that I-10 westbound crash. Mile marker 10 right near Pensacola Boulevard. They're saying the roadway is open. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Culver's introduces their new chicken sandwiches, adding a new spin to their classic chicken sandwich and taking them to the next level. Bigger, juicier chicken with crispier, crunchier breading. You can get yours crispy, spicy crispy, or grilled with your favorite toppings made fresh just for you. Visit Culver's today, Mobile Highway, Bayou Boulevard, or Highway 90 in Milton. Third-party delivery is available with DoorDash and Uber Eats, and curbside service is now available. From Wisconsin with love, it's Culver's. Welcome to Delicious.
Hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital and Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare here in Pensacola. I'd like to invite you to tune in to my new show, Sit, Stay, and Listen, where I'll be answering all your pet questions live on air. Tune in today at 9. See all you cool people then.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
Hurricane season is here, and now is the time to make a plan and know your zone. In the case of an evacuation, have a plan to go to a hurricane shelter, hotel, or stay with a family or friends. If you're ordered to evacuate, you need to leave. You can rebuild your home, but you cannot rebuild your life. This hurricane season, know your zone. Know your home. Learn more at floridadisaster.org. This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Do not worry, soldier. For in our great nation, we will create schools to teach our children our ways. The first year of school will be called kindergarten.
And what will the second year be called?
First grade.
Getting so many texts in from people who say, yep, I've seen it, and it looks like a generation of robots with this Gen Z stare, and also, hey, think of the good news. These are the ones that are going to be taking care of us when we're old. Oh, man. 6:58 on News Radio 92.3. It did lead to me to an idea yesterday, because, I don't know, it occurred to me, which is, you know what would be a really useful bit of information on your name tag would be, hi, my name is Andrew, I'm Gen X. That might help convey to people more information than anybody else. And I also wonder, can you identify as a different generation? You know, I mean, I'm 54, but I identify as a millennial, which I don't. But I wonder if people can be, you know, transgenerational. Anyway, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Transgenerational?
Could be a foreshadowing of tomorrow's transgressors. Anyway, go on, sir. Go on.
Oh, goodness. Well, Senate Republicans are voting to slash funding for public broadcasting, global health, and foreign aid as part of a $9 billion rollback in previously approved spending. The package passed early this morning and includes cuts to NPR, PBS, the World Health Organization, and USAID. The National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline for LGBTQ youth shuts down today as federal spending cuts continue. Mental health groups and states are preparing for that impact. The Trevor Project, which handles nearly half of the 988 calls, is ramping up their fundraising and hiring to try to fill the gap. And the woman who stabbed her friend years ago to try and summon the fictional Slender Man could be closer to freedom today. Morgan Geiser, she was 12 when she and another friend lured another 12-year-old to the Wisconsin woods and stabbed her 19 times. The victim survived. Geiser's now 23 and was sent to a mental institution. She's got a review hearing set for today.
Well, it's such a difficult one because young kids can change dramatically, but also, man, that's a scary person. Just imagine, oh, hey, out in the popular.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
It goes back to the House. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. An amended bill the Senate passed after 2 o'clock this morning, canceling more than $9 billion in federal funding already approved, targeted as wasteful by DOGE. Majority Leader John Thune tells Fox.
0.1% of all federal spending, but it's a step in the right direction.
This is money for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and also USAID. This bill was about $9.4 billion in cuts, but restored money for the global AIDS program known as PEPFAR.
Fox's Chad Berger with the Capitol. Two Republicans, Senators Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins, joined Democrats voting no, concerned the cuts to NPR and PBS could harm rural areas. Late last night in the House, Republicans advanced 3 cryptocurrency regulation bills toward final passage maybe today. Also in the House, more Democrats are backing the controversial nominee to be New York City mayor, Zohran Mamdani, who met with Democrats.